This is the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. It is Thursday, the 18th day of April, 2024. I found an article online this morning that was quite disturbing to me. I've been telling you now for several years since Joe Biden took office, and even before, that your federal government, the Democratic political party that runs it secretly from behind the scenes, no matter who the president is trying desperately to remove your First Amendment rights to free speech, to redress your grievances against your government, freedom of religion, and especially freedom of the press, doing their best to suppress shows like the Truth Hurts program and other conservative media. I talked to you yesterday about NPR having 87 registered Democrats on their editorial staff and not a single Republican. You think that's by accident? Of course not. That is by choice. That liberal, progressive, woke-controlled organization that operates using your tax dollars does everything they can at every turn to bash Republicans, especially Donald Trump, and to try and silence conservative media. I've also told you about the liberal, progressive, woke professors at all of the universities in the nation, except for a very, very select few, who are trying to indoctrinate young people into adopting the lifestyles and theories behind wokeism, liberalism, socialism, communism, progressivism, and how that at every turn they try to punish anyone with free thought that goes against those liberal ideologies. This story, however, goes down to the high school level. A 16-year-old North Carolina high school student was suspended for using the horrible term illegal alien while discussing the meaning of words in his high school English class. And his parents and he are both concerned that this will ruin his chances of landing a college sports scholarship. The young man's name is Christian McGee. He is a student at Central Davidson High School in Lexington, North Carolina, a public school. He recently received a 3-day suspension after he used the term illegal alien in English class. The Carolina Journal publication reported that his mother, Leah McGee, says the teacher had given an assignment that used the word alien. So Christian asked a very simple question, like space aliens or illegal aliens without green cards? Pretty simple, pretty innocuous, very innocent question. Are you talking about little green men from the planet Alpha Centauri? Or are you talking about illegal aliens in the United States? People who cross our borders unlawfully. He didn't say Hispanics. He didn't say Latinos. He didn't say Beaners, Guats, Mexis. He didn't say Hondurans or Cubans. He just asked a very simple question, like space aliens or illegal aliens without green cards. Supposedly, another student was offended by the statement illegal alien and threatened to fight Christian. So the teacher considered it a disturbance and took the matter to the assistant principal. Eventually, Christian's words were determined to have been offensive and disrespectful to Hispanic classmates, so Christian was suspended. Imagine that. Christian told the Carolina Journal, "I didn't make a statement directed towards anyone. I asked a question. I wasn't speaking of Hispanics, because everyone from other countries needs green cards. And the term illegal alien is an actual term that I hear on the news and can find in the dictionary." The suspension will likely affect his prospects of securing a sports scholarship to college. He's a student athlete. Because of his question, he was disciplined and given 3 days out of school suspension for alleged racism. His mom is not a happy camper. She wrote an email describing the incident, saying he is devastated and concerned that the racism label on his school record will harm his future goal of receiving a track scholarship. We, his parents, are concerned that he will fall behind in his classes due to being absent for 3 consecutive days. And on Tuesday, the mother, Leah, appeared on a local radio station saying she and her family had once lived in England, and Christian mentioned how Britons also need green cards to live in the U.S. She said that her husband told the principal, and she told the principal, that the term illegal alien is a term that their son can look up in a dictionary. It's a term used in federal code. It is a term frequently heard on many news broadcasts. I feel that if this was handled properly in the classroom, it could have been easily used as a teachable moment for everyone. She said the assistant principal has refused to remove the suspension from his record, so now the family has resorted to hiring an attorney. It is my hope, Steve Z and the Truth Hurts program's hope, that the school system will simply do the right thing, reinstate the boy's record, lift the suspension, and forever forget this matter. It's not like he called the Hispanic students out specifically, or called them wetbacks or beaners. He didn't point out any specific nationality or race. He simply used a widely accepted term that I use here on the Truth Hurts program on a daily basis, illegal alien. Although I do it a little more properly. Illegal, criminal, law-breaking, trespassing, invading alien migrant. I don't mention Latino or Hispanic, Guatemalan, Honduran, Mexican, Colombian, Bolivian, African, Chinese specifically, unless one of those members of one of those nationalities is doing something violently illegal. A staffer at Central Davidson High School told Newsweek they could not comment about a specific student due to federal protections. Way to hide behind that. They did say, please know that Davidson County Schools administrators take all discipline incidents seriously and investigate each one thoroughly, and any violation of the code of conduct is handled appropriately by administrators. And then they referred the school student handbook that says, quote, the schools may place restrictions on a student's right to free speech when the speech is obscene, abusive, promoting illegal drug use, or is reasonably expected to cause a substantial disruption to the school day. Now let's break down that handbook right quick. Any attorney worth his or her salt should be able to take this to court and sue the school for tens of thousands of dollars and require the suspension to be lifted and the student to be fully exonerated. I'll break this down for you. By using a question to ask whether the term alien was meant about little green Martians or lawbreakers illegally crossing our borders, that's not obscene. It's not abusive, it's simply a question. It didn't promote illegal drug use. Nor could anyone with any common sense reasonably presume that asking a single question in a closed classroom setting with 20 to 30 students and a teacher would cause a substantial disruption to the school day. Now, when they twist this against Christian McGee, they'll probably say, well, the little Mexican kid who threatened to beat Christian McGee's ass for asking a question that he took as offensive. There might have been a fight after school, and maybe other students would have seen the fight, and therefore it would have been a disruption. Or perhaps the fight would have occurred in the cafeteria during lunchtime. You can twist it and turn it any way you would like, but this is an attempt to punish a student for asking a legitimate question using widely, nationally accepted terminology. The school system should be ashamed of themselves. The assistant principal should at least get some phone calls from angry people nationwide, and perhaps should be disciplined him or herself. That's my 2 cents. And this is the Truth Hurts program.
Rioters Warehouse, your former source for bricks and sticks and bottles and baseball bats used in the so-called peaceful protesting in Seattle, has expanded and opened new locations in Brownsville and El Paso, Texas, and in several abandoned gas stations along the U.S.-Mexico border. Are you a homeowner, farmer, rancher, business owner, or simply an American patriot looking to help the understaffed border agents in repelling unlawful invaders? Are you a citizen concerned with the nation being invaded while the Biden administration not only looks the other way, but actually rolls out the welcome mat to illegal criminals? If you need self-protection gear, tear gas, rubber bullets, and the regular kind, barbed wire, bear traps, or any other items to assist individual states in securing their sovereign state borders, Rioters Warehouse has what you need at prices you can afford. After selling all that spray paint and fire-starting liquid to the Chaz and Chop on the West Coast, we've expanded our services to the southern border to help protect all Americans from a massive invasion of illegal aliens. Look us up on the web at rioterswarehouse.us.patriots today. That's rioterswarehouse.us.patriots. We look forward to serving you as you protect us.
Well, well, well. Joe Biden and the Democrats have been hoping and praying that the illegal, criminal, law-breaking, trespassing, invading alien migrants at our southern border would eventually turn into votes for Joe Biden and future Democrats. But according to Newsweek, Matt Robinson writes, Donald Trump leads Joe Biden amongst Hispanic voters in a surprising poll. In the state of Texas, the heavily Hispanic state of Texas, the place where most of the illegal aliens are crossing into the United States unlawfully, Donald Trump is leading Joe Biden amongst Hispanic voters ahead of the November presidential election. According to a survey conducted by the Texas Hispanic Policy Foundation, Trump holds a surprising 4-plus percentage point lead over Biden amongst Latino voters, scoring 41% of the vote compared to 37 for gropey, mopey, dopey, racist Joe Biden. The poll featured five possible candidates, including Chase Oliver of the Libertarian Party, Jill Stein of the Green Party, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as an independent, gropey Joe Biden as a pandering Democrat, and Donald John Trump as the common sense conservative Republican choice. Support amongst Hispanic and Latino voters is said to be critical in the upcoming election. Several critical swing states like Florida, Arizona, and Nevada have sizable Latino populations. And even small changes in voter choices could likely hamper Joe Biden's chances of success in those states. Breaking down this poll, which was conducted by a Hispanic Latino polling organization, says that Trump's lead in this demographic is due in part to his advantage amongst Hispanic born-again Christians, receiving 61% of their vote compared to only 18% for Biden, who supports baby murder. Remember, Hispanics, Latinos in general, most often oppose baby murder, abortion. Hispanics who consider themselves to be non-religious are likely to vote for Biden, with 53% of non-religious Hispanics saying they will vote for Biden compared to 15% for Trump. But Hispanics, Latinos in general, are usually, as a group, much more religious. Trump leads with Hispanics that don't have a four-year college degree, with a 43-32% favorability. Biden leads Hispanics with a four-year degree, only 43%-38%. Overall, the poll reveals that Trump is well ahead of Biden in Texas amongst all likely voters, leading by over 12 percentage points, with 46% to Joe Biden's 34%. And Kennedy is projected to score about 9-10% of the vote. Trump maintains a 12-point lead over Biden even if Kennedy drops out. In that contest, according to the poll, 48% will vote for Trump, with 36% voting for Biden. In a further blow to gropey Joe, who has been pushing to win over independents and more moderate Republicans, the findings reveal that if Kennedy drops out, 26% of Kennedy's voters will back Trump, and only 21% of Kennedy's voters will back Biden, and the rest of them will back other minor party candidates or simply stay home. This is not good for Joe Biden. The data, by the way, was obtained from a representative survey of 1,600 likely Texas voters who are of Hispanic descent. My friends, this contest is going to be close. And if Biden wins again, you can bet your sweet patootie there will be some illegal criminal interference on the part of the Democrats and the Biden campaign. Oh, I bet Gropey Joe and the Democrats really wish they could find a way for all the recently arrived illegal aliens to vote, and that would shift the Hispanic vote numbers. You're listening to the Truth Hurts program.
Well, howdy, Pete.
Well, howdy, Charlie.
Hey, Pete.
Yeah, Charlie.
Remember all those classic vintage car shows we used to go to? The ones with those old restored cars and trucks?
Yes, I do, Charlie. Those car shows bring back some great memories and showed off some of the best cars the industry ever made.
I remember going to them, too. Remember how the owners were so proud of those cars, and sometimes they even revved up those powerful gasoline motors for us?
Yes, I do remember that. Great times, Charlie. By the way, why did you ask?
Well, Pete, I was wondering if 20 years from now, folks would be attending classic electric vehicle car shows.
Well, that's a good thought, Charlie. But I think all of those electric cars will be sitting in landfills and junkyards 20 years from now, or roasting remnants of the fires that they caused.
Good point, Pete. They lose most of their value in the first 6 weeks. The batteries don't last, they're overpriced, and the ones that don't catch fire... Well, they aren't fetching very much at the used car lots, are they? Maybe they'll keep a few around for museum pieces, like other obsolete technologies.
Yeah, like VHS, compact discs, Segways, and hopefully, Democratic Party ideas.
Amen, Pete. Amen.
Tune in next time when Pete and Charlie discuss things that are important to America.
Steve Z and the Truth Hurts Program.
Well, speaking of those electric cars, my Truth Hurts program listeners, a former Tesla engineer is revealing serious safety issues behind the rollout of electric vehicles in this country. Customer reports that Tesla has halted deliveries for futuristic Cybertrucks amid allegedly dangerous safety issues with their accelerator pedals comes as no surprise from one former engineer. Christina Balin told the Daily Mail that the gas and brake pedal safety issues she witnessed a decade ago with the Tesla Model S led her coming forward as a whistleblower, and they're now happening with the Cybertruck. Balin said, "After I left, things got worse." She's suing, by the way, Elon Musk for defamation of character because he called her a lousy engineer or something to that effect. Balin said, "I have quite a few people that right now are in Tesla. They brought some serious safety issues to my attention. New Cybertruck owners have described their," as she calls it a gas pedal, it's an accelerator pedal because, you know, there's no gas, "as a death trap, demonstrating how the pedal cover can slide off the accelerator and become snagged on the carpet, locking it in place and causing the vehicle to accelerate at top speed." Balin's disclosures come as new citizen drone footage shows entire fleets of unfinished Tesla Cybertrucks backed up in a lot over parts concerns, as well as Musk's announcement that as many as 14,000 Tesla workers will be laid off due to falling electric vehicle sales. Balin joined Tesla's Fremont, California factory way back in 2010 as a senior computer-aided design engineer. She's now fighting Tesla in court over what she describes as retaliation for her efforts to correct a dangerous issue with the Tesla Model S. Poorly made floor mats, according to Balin, showed a tendency to curl underneath the brake pedals, preventing drivers from being able to slow their vehicles down. She said they told her they would deal with it, but they never did. She worries that her own lengthy and very public legal battle with Tesla, with lawsuits over wrongful termination and defamation over the years, might be scaring other Tesla employees from coming forward on the safety issues with the Cybertruck. She says people, good engineers, are afraid to say something is wrong because they know that they will go on the same track I was sent on. We'll have to see what happens with that. Meanwhile, electric vehicle sales in the United States have slowed almost to a halt, and Joe Biden is having no choice but to scale back his ambitious goal of making vehicles electric by the year 2030 or 2035. We'll talk about that in a future edition of the Truth Hurts program. But I also found out that Amazon Prime is sending out some all-electric delivery vehicles, as well as some of their larger 18-wheel over-the-road trucks as all-electric vehicles. We'll have to see how that nightmare plays out. My thoughts are, if the batteries weigh as much as they do, percentage-wise of the vehicle's total weight in an 18-wheeler as they do in a car, the cargo capacity of those 18-wheelers will be severely diminished due to weight restrictions on the nation's bridges and highways, so it will take more Amazon Prime 18-wheeler electric vehicles to deliver the same amount of products that the current fleet of diesel vehicles can transport. The added weight, of course, always a fear when it comes to safety and the ability of those vehicles to stop. Not to mention the problem with tires in heavier vehicles popping, exploding, wearing out, putting particulates into the air, and all of the other items associated with the negatives of electric car use, only now 10 to 20 times larger in scale with electric 18-wheelers.
Attention Amazonian Primal delivery customers. We've been receiving lots of feedback on the massive delays in you receiving your packages, but it's not our fault. Thanks to the so-called green initiatives by your federal government, we've been forced to make some changes to our delivery systems. In addition to wind and solar-powered warehouses that only get electricity if the sun is shining and the wind is blowing, the new Amazonian Primal all-electric 18-wheel delivery trucks are now on the road. Yes, they weigh a whole lot more than normal diesel-powered trucks, so they have to carry much fewer of your packages. Yes, we have to put many more trucks on the road to make up for the losses in carrying capacity. Yeah, this means more traffic on the roads and more potential accidents for our overworked, very sleepy drivers. But don't worry, there's lots of maple sugar glazed donuts to keep those guys popping. These trucks do cost much more than diesels, so we're raising prices for deliveries to cover the difference. And yes, these heavier trucks wear out those 18 tires much sooner, which causes more tires to end up in landfills or in empty lots in minority neighborhoods. And yes, they don't go very far on a single charge, so your packages will be delayed more often than not. But that's what President Biden wants, so that's what you have to deal with. Amazonian Primal, doing what we're told to do by the regime so they don't regulate us out of business.
The gaffmaster, Joe Biden, has once again reared his ugly head and read from cue cards a statement that made everyone on planet Earth scratch their head and wonder, what the hell is this guy talking about?
And then my son volunteered to go to Iraq for a year, and he came back with stage 4 glioblastoma. And they gave, like many of you, risked your lives, and you know people who gave their lives to the country. They're heroes. But one of the things that I, as I was doing that today, I was reminded of what my opponent said in Paris not too long ago. They asked him to go visit American grave sites. He said no, he wouldn't do it because they were all suckers and losers. I'm not making that up. Staff who was listening acknowledged it today. Suckers and losers. And undeserved. To have been the commander-in-chief for my son, my uncle. So folks, we got a lot of work to do, but I'm confident we can do it, and I mean it. I've never been more optimistic about our possibilities as a nation. So let's go out and get them, remember?
For the United States of America, there's nothing beyond our capacity, nothing. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, there you have it, boys and girls. He is playing on the cancer death of his son, who went to Iraq for a year, came back with some form of brain cancer that Biden can't pronounce, as he... And then he talks about Donald Trump not going to visit some grave sites of fallen soldiers in France for whatever reason. And in a moment of stupidity, when Donald Trump did say that those people who died were suckers and losers, there was some context behind that that the Democrats refused to report on. I'm not going to sit here and insult your intelligence and say that that was a great thing for Trump to say, but at least it was understandable, intelligible. But Biden, barely coherent, speaking to the Steelworkers Union, they got about 10 people to stand up there. You heard the pitiful applause by 10 people. Donald Trump brings tens of thousands to his rallies, and Biden can only manage 10 to 20 people at any gathering, including his own Secret Service personnel, and the reporters, and the local cops, and the few minority people and women and crippled people that he puts on stage to try and represent what he calls America. This guy says that
Donald Trump doesn't deserve to be commander-in-chief for my son and my uncle.
Donald Trump was never the commander-in-chief for your uncle, and I don't believe he was the commander-in-chief for your dead son. Look, dude, I'm sorry your son died of brain cancer. I lost a son too. It sucks. It's terrible. But trying to put blame on a former president for your son's death when that former president did not draft your son and send him to war is ridiculous. In fact, Donald Trump started no new wars, no new armed conflicts for his entire 4 years, and Joe Biden surrendered Afghanistan to a terrorist organization called the Taliban. He negotiates with and provides support to known terrorist organizations like Hamas and Hezbollah. And he has started more armed conflicts in his 3 years than you or I should even be talking about. This guy is a clown. He's a joke. And he does not deserve to be the president. Hell, his inflation alone is causing average everyday Americans to not be able to afford to go to fast food restaurants, especially in liberal, progressive, woke, Democrat-run California, where the minimum wage has been, in my opinion, unlawfully hiked for a specific group of people, fast food workers, to a whopping $20 an hour. Hell, you can't even go out and get fried chicken at a decent price anymore. You'd be better off going to a sit-down restaurant with your family of four than trying to feed them at a local fast food joint. And that's why so many fast food restaurants are closing their doors, hiking their prices, and laying off employees by the dozens. It's shameful. It's Bidenomics. It's Bidenflation. And it's all Joe Biden's fault.
Well, howdy there, friends. This here's the Colonel. Y'all know which Colonel, but I can't mention my name still on account of I don't want to get sued. Anywho, by now I know you've heard about our newest product, the Cheetza, my award-winning chicken, drowned in some sort of pizza sauce. Hell, I didn't like it, but with pizza joints laying off so many folks and closing up their shops, the egghead accountants at our home office said we ought to give it a try. Since my hands are basically tied, I said what the hell. Anyway, I do want to apologize about raising the prices on our former dollar menu up to $7, but that's what Bidenomics inflation causes. And for my friends on the left coast in California, I have to apologize for the massive price increases due to the governor's ridiculous $20 an hour minimum wage. If you see the price of a leg and thigh rise as high as your car note, that's not the colonel's doing. But don't you worry, soon the robot batterers and frying machines will be in place, and the self-checkout and ordering systems will be too. So you won't have to worry about dealing with rude, unskilled workers accosting you at the counter. And if things don't get better soon, we'll have to cut our 11 spices and herbs down to simple salt and pepper. And no, I'm not talking about the big booty black girl singing room. This here's the Colonel saying, shoop, and bye-bye for now.
And if you look at your clock right now, you'll realize we've run out of time for this edition of the Truth Hurts program. See you next time. Thank you for listening to the Truth Hurts program. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We apologize if you are offended, but we retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautix. Copyright 2024, the Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved.